This is BCB 106.6 FM.
Hi guys, welcome to Movie Madness. Today I'm with Finn and Mohsin.
Back with a bang.
Hello guys.
So how are you lot?
I'm okay, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm okay.
I'm pretty good as well.
So yeah, have you guys watched anything new?
I've been pretty busy, so I haven't seen anything new.
Well, I've had quite a few productive days, movie-wise. That's because Heather put me on. I've never been the biggest superhero or Marvel fan. Mm-hmm. And Heather keeps on banging on about it, especially with the recent release of Endgame. Thought I might as well check a couple of these Marvel movies out. And what I've watched so far, obviously I've watched Iron Man and Iron Man 2 before. I've watched Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, you said.
And what I've watched recently, though, out of the Marvel phases is Thor, the first Avengers again.
Yeah.
Captain America 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But I have to say, out of all of them so far, I think in some of them, like, the pacing's off a bit.
Yeah.
Like, the first Captain America, sometimes the pace is too slow of the content and what it's about, and then it rushes into it. And you can see the difference between the first one and the second one, because there's new directors in the second one, as you were saying yesterday. And it was quite noticeable with the shots, the angles, some of the humour that was incorporated into it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a lot of the actions was completely different. So I found the second one a lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
And I definitely like that one the most out of all of them.
So out of all of them, you like Winter Soldier the best?
Yeah, but I think pacing-wise of it and all.
Yeah.
Because I'm quite into pace, because I don't like certain segments rushed, because then sometimes I get a little bit confused and I have to backtrack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I quite like Avengers for its pacing. That's the first Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've really been thrown in at the deep end, haven't you?
Yeah, but I quite like it though. I've had to figure it out and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, we were telling you, you were saying that you didn't like Captain America, and me and Finn were telling you to watch Winter Soldier because they refreshed the character so much.
Because I was like, I came back, I think, I was on the phone to you the other day, and I was just like cussing out Captain America. I was like, this guy's dead, man, he's boring. And then Heather goes, he was insisting that I watch Winter Soldier. And then once I watched it, I literally got captivated in about first 20 minutes.
Same thing for me, exactly.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it, man. And today I'm probably going to watch what's it called? Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
Yeah.
And
Ant-Man and stuff. And then I'm going to watch Age of Ultron in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So you're going into phase two now.
Yeah.
Phase three.
Did you watch Winter Soldier pretty recently as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched it, I think, a few days before Avengers came out.
Right.
The new one?
Yeah, the new Avengers came out. And it really got me on board with Captain America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I never really liked him before. Like, in Infinity War, I was watching just like... He's kind of boring. I just don't really enjoy him. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't really engaging. Yeah. But after watching Winter Soldier...
He's very mainstream, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's very, like, to the rules and not doing anything.
Exactly, yeah, sorry, yeah.
And in Infinity War, he doesn't have very much to do.
No.
But you do, he does get fleshed out a lot more.
No spoilers, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, we won't spoil it for you. So, Marvel's a huge franchise, and it's, like, a huge tapestry of 22 movies.
It's the biggest... I was reading facts up earlier, and it is the highest grossing ever. Franchise.
It's gotta be, because if Endgame topped Titanic,
around $18 billion,
and there is no other franchise that has 22 movies, 23 now.
Well, not that really comes into my head, no.
No, there isn't.
Like, especially was it from 2008 when the first one?
Yeah, 2008, and now it's 2019.
What are we? 11 years on.
Yeah.
22 within 11.
And I think in some years they had like 3 movies in a year. Sometimes.
Yeah, that was recently, especially like with Phase 3, they just blasted out movies left, right, and centre.
So after this break, we're going to talk about some of the most successful movie franchises, and then we'll have another break, and then we'll talk about the worst movie franchises and stuff that have failed and flopped.
Yeah.
But before that, we're going to take a little break and listen to Eden again.
Okay.
Some of the songs that Finch recommended. So, yeah. And we're back. So, what do you like about that song? Did you like that song, I mean?
I've never heard it before.
No, I haven't either. Right. I have it downloaded on my phone, but I've never heard it.
It was alright, yeah.
Finn's a big Eno fan, as he's notoriously known for.
Sure.
So, let's go back to movie franchises. So, what's the... If you can think of, like, a successful franchise, what's the first one that comes in your head?
Harry Potter.
I was definitely going to say that as well.
Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. They both come under the same umbrella, innit?
Yeah,
fantasy.
Yeah.
So what do you think makes a franchise, like, what makes it good and what makes it flop?
Consistency.
Good writing.
Yeah, definitely.
I say consistency is one part of it, but another part of it is keep on making it fresh when you come back.
Yeah, obviously you have to innovate certain new things, but it has to match themes.
Yeah, exactly. The themes have to be the same.
And I think, like you said, with writers, it's got to be entertaining, especially with Harry Potter. What was it, 7 parts to it?
Yeah,
there were 7 parts to it. And imagine if even one of them just fell apart. Like, just say you got through 3 of them and Goblet of Fire were just dead boring.
Yeah.
Mm. And there was no content in it, there was no substance. I wouldn't watch Order of the Phoenix after.
Mm.
So yeah, writing is key for me, I think, as well.
But I think the thing about franchises that are different to like movies, like duologies and trilogies, is like you're watching them and you know there's going to be a big ending right at the end.
Yeah.
So that's what makes you come back to watch the next one. And what Marvel did with that really well was they had post-credit scenes to basically like key you into the next one and pull you in. I think that's a big part of it too. Like, yeah. Make the audience excited for the big finale.
Just to tease someone and entice them into the next one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how do you think Harry Potter did it then? Like, what do you think that did well?
That had books.
Cliffhangers.
Yeah, I think Harry Potter had a massive like fan base and books.
Yeah.
So people, like, while the movies were coming out, people would be around like, yeah, have you read the books? They're better. Or like, oh, there's this character and stuff like that. So they were waiting for the big finale, so you knew there was a big finale from them.
Because, I mean, I know there were the books as well, but I think it was a lot to do with, like, the overarching stories.
Yeah.
Of it all, because there was, like, they were all linked in, obviously, in terms of the, I'm going to say Tesseract, the Horcruxes.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything
I mean,
like
that's
that.
The back end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's like the building blocks of it,
yeah,
you say.
Definitely, yeah.
Because if it, without that and it was just like something happening next film, something happening, it wouldn't be engaging after like the first 3 films.
So the Horcruxes, would you say, is like Harry Potter's version of the Infinity Stones?
Yeah. So I, that's a pretty good example, actually.
Yeah.
It's like he has to collect them all and destroy them all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think with Harry Potter, what made it really successful is that, you know, like you said, the best way to do is post-credit.
Yeah.
But I think what these are did really well, each one, obviously the goal is at the end to kill Voldemort, right? But each one was completely different, aside from the last two. Each one, cause what they were fighting was completely different. Like in the first one, he was against Quirrell. Then the second, Chamber of Secrets, where he's helping Ginny in a different, Tom Riddle, who's in a different form of Voldemort himself as he is now. And it's just completely different. So it's always keeping you on the edge and it keeps you intrigued. Like, all right, so okay. It's like it goes off to a complete different tangent at times.
Yeah.
So it's on one thing, then it skips to the other. So I just think it keeps your mind occupied on what you think's going to happen next.
Mm. Yeah. I'd say because I've gone through phases where I've just watched like all 7, is it 7 films?
I think it's 8, sorry.
Yeah, 7 books, 8 films.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've watched all 8 films like within the space of a couple of days.
Oh.
Because they just keep you
watching,
even though you know what's going to happen because you've seen them before.
I love
it. Just want to watch it.
That's easily my favourite, easily. Yeah.
Mm. I think the thing that makes you guys be able to do that really easily is the character development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the characters weren't good, it's like it wouldn't work.
Especially Malfoy's development.
Yeah.
That was class. Especially when, you know, we knew from day one he's going to be what he was going to be, but the way he went into it and how, you know, in the 6th one, where he became a Death Eater, or was it the 7th one? I can't remember which one of the two.
One of them. Yeah,
yeah, it was definitely one of them.
I think it's the 2nd one. Part 2 of Deathly Hallows.
No, he was the Death Eater in Half Blood Prince, I'm sure.
All right.
And
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, that the character, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan.
Yeah. I like Neville's character development.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Because the way he kills the thing, right? Emily Sod. Because he just, like, it's, I like the understory.
You remind me of Neville.
Just a nerd. But, yeah, the characters, especially, that's the best. I think, listening to the fans.
Yeah.
Because that's a really easy thing to do if you're making a franchise. Because if you're making something over years and years, and nowadays with internet as well.
Yeah, but what they've also got to account for is the books, because they're already written.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I guess they were kind of capped creatively, weren't they, in a sense? Content-wise, at least.
Yeah.
And writing-wise.
I mean, obviously, there's creative direction where they can take it slightly off, but they can't stray too far. Because
exactly.
Yeah, so that was the weakness by relying on the books, but the positive would be they've already released these stories, so they know what people hated about those stories already. So they can already like fix their holes, what they had with the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, the books, that's quite an interesting bit, because... not to go off too, this is from a Game of Thrones fans out there that are watching this. They'd know what I'm on about. Since they've stopped following by the books, a lot of people's opinions are that the content's going down the hill.
Yeah.
And now it's mainly about quantity over quality in that. And
The thing about books is you can't just rely on spectacle.
Yeah.
You have to rely on story and characters. So obviously, like if you're relying on the books, you're definitely relying on story and characters, which is more important. But yeah, do you have any, like, another example of a huge franchise would be, like, that does rely on spectacle, I would say, is Fast and Furious.
100%. 100%. That is more aesthetic over.
Yeah, that's
anything.
A different end of the spectrum.
That's, yeah, that's one whole flip from Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's complete different. That's definitely aesthetic. That's all that was about. Yeah,
people will look at that for the cars,
yeah,
the actors, the muscle, the fights, and like the explosions.
Yeah. I think that was like, you know, like a playboy, what we call a yeah. playboy's dream.
Mm.
So it enticed a lot of people's imagination, like, oh, okay, so if I reach this point of fame mm-hmm. or status, this is what I achieve. So it's kind of interesting that.
Yeah. I never got really into Fast and Furious.
I was never the biggest fan. No. You know how much I love cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was never the biggest fan of it.
What do you think really entices people to watch that movie? Because I know a lot of big fans, like, oh, you've never seen all 8 of them, 9
you
of them.
You know, it's again, it goes back to who's in it.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's been, since Fast and Furious 5 in it. He's
yeah. Just, that, I think that's the highest grossing one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, if I'm sure. I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the height of the thing, though, isn't it? The height yeah. of its like peak.
I think it could have been 6, actually, when
six,
Paul
yeah.
Walker passed.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of the, it's
yeah.
one of the,
yeah, yeah.
After 5. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, it's about, you know, the people that were acting in it, the money that's involved,
yeah,
the speed of the cars. It's all material-wise, isn't it? And everybody, yeah. a lot of people love this, so.
Everything, especially, the only thing that, I think I'm not into Fast and Furious at all, like, I don't yeah. like it, like, I haven't, like, I try to watch it, but I get out of it, but, like, trailers and stuff that, like, oh, I should watch this one, it's, like, I think it's number 7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, in the trailer, the cars come out of the aeroplane, and they're, like, yeah, they really, that. It's, like, that stuff like that, it's, like, spectacle that would make you want to watch it. It's yeah. never a story. It's never, like, oh, I want to know what happens to him.
Yeah, I'd describe, if there was one word, I'd describe Harry Potter with as a franchise, and from a technical point, I'd say it's content.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Fast and Furious, again, is aesthetic. That's for me, at least.
Yeah,
yeah, I know what you mean, because I've only seen one Fast and Furious film, and obviously it's the second one, that was years ago. And I've never once wanted to go back to it, seeing where the characters have come, like,
yeah.
where they've gone.
Yeah.
But these trailers I've seen, I think it was for the new one, the Hobbs and
Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw. I saw the trailer for that, I was like, oh, that looks like a good film.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not interested in the characters, I'm more interested in what they do.
What's yeah.
It's incredibly materialistic.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely,
but
definitely.
It's still super successful. Like they, yeah. still, they still come out every single like year.
Every year or two, yeah, definitely, yeah.
So another franchise I'd say is, we've talked about fantasy. Balls?
I think kind of to go back a bit, but I think the I knew I'd be banging on about this word pacing.
Yeah,
The pacing in between Harry Potter. Sometimes what kept us enticed was the first one was 2001.
Yeah,
second 2002. Then 2003, and then there was a 2-year gap between Goblet of Fire. That was 2005. So then after that, it was just 2 years. And I think the time in between, I mean, do you know when things just get back to back to back? You kind of just get flushed away with what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. So it kind of kept you on your toes a bit. Because I remember when the first Deathly Hallows came out, for the whole of the year, I was like, all right, okay, what's going to happen in the second? What's going to happen in the second? So kept us waiting.
Yeah, that was the marketing kind of thing in it with Deathly Hallows. It was a lot of my money based, I think, that one.
Mm.
Because I hate the first Deathly Hallows movie.
I don't hate it.
It's not the best out of all of them. It's really slow.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the weakest out of all of them?
Deathly Hallows Part 1. I think so. You would say the first one is...
Yeah, I'm going to be horrible on that and say the first one. I really don't like it.
The second one?
I've got to say the second, yeah.
Really?
Which one is the second? What happened in that one?
Second one is where Ginny...
Is that the one, the girl in the bathroom?
Yeah, Ginny, yeah.
Jimmy's not the girl in the bathroom.
Mortal Myrtle. I think Ginny's the one. Do you know when
Ginny's
Ron's sister?
Yeah,
is she the one that Harry Potter actually gets with at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So okay, we've talked about successful franchises. Now we'll get into the worst franchises after this break.
Right.
Because we're on 17 minutes now. So yeah.
Okay.
So after Eden's Lost, we'll come back and and we're back. After Eden's Lost. So, building off from successful movie franchises, let's talk about flops now. Like, one that totally... I think the most recent one that comes to my head is the Amazing Spider-Man ones.
Mm.
You guys, have you not seen the Amazing Spider-Man ones?
No.
No.
When I was watching them, I was really into them. But I watched the Amazing Spider-Man 2, big disappointment. And then everybody else was disappointed too.
Yeah.
And they ended up scrapping the entire... They planned... Before the Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out, online they released a list of 6 Spider-Man movies that was going to be connected to that.
Wow.
Including the Sinister Six. And the whole thing had to get scrapped. It was such a big disappointment because I was like, oh my god, it's building up. They had post-credit scenes and everything. The exact same as like they were trying to copy, because everybody's trying to copy Marvel now and it's superhero-wise.
Yeah.
So they just said, Andrew Garfield, he went, there was a meeting in Sony in China. and he did something disrespectful or something, he didn't go. And the head of Sony in China said he can't be Spider-Man anymore.
Wow.
The people that own it, because he didn't come to that meeting. Like, it's confirmed all of this happened, and then he just got scrapped. They had to reboot it.
Which one is your favourite Spider-Man?
This new one.
Tom Holland?
Yeah.
Hmm. I like Tom Holland.
He's the best one, because he's just so accurate.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have any flops that you guys want to talk about?
I don't have flops, per se, but...
I don't know. I mean, I suppose when you think about a flop, it's something you haven't watched, because it's...
Terrible. Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Twilight. Like,
so, other people talk about.
I actually quite like Twilight.
Yeah, I never really got into it. I mean, it did well in the cinemas, but...
Female-wise. Yeah, like, it was like a female TV.
Yeah,
but there was a lot of repetition in it.
Yeah, there was always that stigma around it on the internet, especially just, it's Twilight, it's terrible.
But it had
it's
lots
teen
of...
teen movie.
I think the fan base was very loyal.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a cult fan base, definitely. Yeah, similar to Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and stuff.
Yeah. And books as well.
Another one that comes to mind is Transformers.
Transformers.
Oh, God, don't get me started on that. I watched one of them for about 44 minutes, forced myself to watch the next one. Just thought I'm never ever watching these again.
It's one of those movies where you have, if you're like 9 years old, you're like, yeah, this is sick.
Yeah. <It's> like, but
is it? Yeah, I don't know what to say about it, because why do you think it flopped? But I always hear people still talk. Why are people still talking about it today?
I think it goes back to the loyal fan base thing.
Mm.
And obviously it is always going to be valuable, and you know, to people that, you know, just say if you're about 10.
Yeah.
It's going to be it's got that loyal of a fan base though.
Okay, not necessarily that, but
not
some
the
movies
same with Harry Potter has.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But the nostalgia. So if you're about 10, 8 years later, we're 18.
Yeah.
And you know, you're always going to value the movie for the time that you watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it doesn't have no replay value at all.
Mm.
So, yeah, and another thing is there's, like, loads of toys. Kids can be like, yeah, it looks like my toy. And
yeah.
Play.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, we're coming to the end of the show. We've got about 2 minutes left, so do you guys want to make any, like, final points?
I suppose Pirates of the Caribbean comes to mind. Not, like, bad ones, but dying, definitely.
Dying.
Yeah, it was hyped up from about 2005 to 10, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, I remember the first one, watching that, and thinking that were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then after each one after that, just getting worse and worse. I don't even see the newest one.
Like, I definitely like the first ever one. I think it came out in 2005 or something.
2003.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Curse of the Black Pearl.
That was like where Johnny Depp was like coming back in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Johnny Depp carried those movies.
Yeah, definitely.
If it wasn't, yeah. So yeah, that was today's episode of Movie Madness.
Yep.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and so we discussed franchises and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And see you next week.
See you.
See you.